Okay, we're beginning here from the middle of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara here yesterday left off with discussing how do we know that a Pesach haba b'tumah, that Pesach or Korban HaPesach is dochet to tumah etzibur, and we had the source from Rabbi Yochanan. We had Reish Lakish's challenge to that and Reish Lakish's suggestion. Then we had Abaye's rejection of Reish Lakish's suggestion. And then we had a final suggestion by Abaye that upheld Rabbi Yochanan's original suggestion, which is that we learn it out from Ish Ish Nitcheh, that an individual is pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but not a Tzibur. A Tzibur is not pushed off to Pesach Sheni. As far as how do we know then if it's not pushed off, then maybe they don't do a Korban Pesach at all? That comes from the word Nefesh. The extra word Nefesh comes to teach us that only a Tamei Meit has this dispensation, but not a Mitzora and not a Zav. The Gemara says, well, that's only relevant by a case of a Tzibur. Because a Yachid, even a Mitzora, and even a Zav, by a single individual that's Tamei, is pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Whereas when it comes to the Tzibur, only when the Tzibur is robed Tamei Meitim would they do the Pesach B'tumah, Pesach Rishon. But if it was Zav or Mitzora that were the Tmeim that made up the robe at Tzibur, they would not do the Pesach B'tumah. So that was the conclusion of the Gemara yesterday. Now we begin with the statement of Rav Chista. Rav Chista, Mitzora, Shenichnas Lifnim Michitzato Patur. A Mitzora who violates the requirement that he be Michutz LaMachaneh is Patur. He doesn't get the punishment, he doesn't get Malkot. Now, the Psukim that tell us about this information, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe L'mor, Tzavet B'nei Yisrael, we have here a requirement that all of these Tameim be sent out of the Machaneh. We quoted this yesterday with regards to the issue, if we know Tamei Meit has to be sent out, then certainly no Zav and Mitzora have to be sent out. That was the attempt by Reish Lakish to get the source for why Pesach is Dochet Tumah from here. These Pesukim are found in Parshat Naso Perikei. And there, there's a command that you have all these people leave the machaneh. Mizachar ad nikrivat tishaleichu, al michutz la machaneh tishalchum, velo itamu et machaneh mashani shochen bitocham. So there's a requirement that they be sent out of the machaneh. Velo itamu et machaneh. There's a law here that they should not be metamei the machaneh. Vayasuchem b'nei so do that. Vayishalchu otam al michutz la machaneh. They send them out. Now Rav Chista says that even though the mitzora has to be sent out here means completely, even from Arei Yisrael, he has to be chutz l'choma. A Mitzora may not enter into a Jewish city that has a wall around it in Eretz Yisrael. He's sent out of Machaneh Shechina, Machaneh Levia, and Machaneh Yisrael. That's in the Midbar. In the Midbar, there is Machaneh Shechina, where the Mishkan and the Aron are. There's Machaneh Levia, which is the Machaneh around the Mishkan, the Leviim who live around the Mishkan. And then around them is Machaneh Yisrael. The requirement is that a Mitzora be sent out of all three Machanot. He has to even be Michutz to Machaneh Yisrael. A Zav has to be sent out of two Machanot. He may not be in the Machaneh Shechina, he may not be in the Machaneh Leviyah, but he can be in Machaneh Yisrael. And a Tamei Meit only has to be sent out of Machaneh Shechina, he can be in the Machaneh Leviyah. We're going to see all of this in the Gemara coming up, just giving you the background so we understand about what we're speaking about here. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, the equivalent of Machaneh Shechina is the Azara, is the Mikdash itself. So the Mikdash is the equivalent of Machaneh Shechina. Machaneh Leviyah in Eretz Yisrael is the equivalent of Har HaBayit. And then Machaneh Yisrael is the equivalent of Yerushalayim here, or any other walled city. Therefore, a Tamei Meit may not enter into the Mikdash, but he can go onto Har HaBayit. A Zav may not go into the Mikdash, may not go into Har HaBayit, but he can be inside of Yerushalayim, or inside of any walled city in Eretz Yisrael. On the other hand, a Mitzora may not be in Machaneh Shechina, may not be in the Mikdash, may not be in Machaneh Leviyah, may not be in Har HaBayit, and also may not be in Machaneh Yisrael. He can't be in Yerushalayim as well. He has to be outside of Yerushalayim or outside of any other walled city in Eretz Yisrael. That's the requirement for Mitzora. Rav Chista comes and says, if the Mitzora violates that and comes into the Machaneh Yisrael, he is patur. He doesn't get Malkot for that. Shenemar. The reason for that, he says, is because of the way that the pasuk is structured in Sefer Vayikra. In Sefer Vayikra, in Perek Gimel, when it describes what the din of a Mitzora is, it says, Vatsarua, asher boa nega begadav, yufumim, veroshoye parua. A person who has a nega, who has tzarat, first of all, his garments must be rent, his hair has to be let grow wild, al safam yate, has to cover his mouth, vitamei tamei yikra, and he has to call out that he's a tamei. Anybody who approaches him, he has to tell him that he is a tamei. Ho, yamei, asher a nega bo, as long as the nega is with him, itma, he will be tamei, tamei who, badad yeshei, michutz lamachaneh moshavo, he is alone, and outside of the Machaneh will be his place. Rav Chista suggests over here, based on that pasuk, Badad Yeshev, Livado yeshev. He has to be alone. Chutz l'machane moshevo. What is mechutz l'machane moshevo? Akatuv nikoli asei. The Torah makes it into an asei. The way Rashi reads this is that this now becomes a lav hanitak le'asei. A lav that has a rectification associated with it, which means that you don't get a punishment. Two classic examples of that are notar and gneva. The Torah says, lo tigzol, you may not steal. And it says, if you do steal, ve'shivet gzeila asher gazal. You must return the gzeila that you took. So therefore, if one steals, they don't get malkot, because it's a lav hanitak le'asei. The Torah prescribes the rectification of that lav. The rectification of that lav is if you steal, then you return that which you stole. And therefore, there's no punishment for it. Similar with notar. It says that you may not leave anything over, and it says, notar mimenu ad haboker ba'esh tisareif. Anything that you do leave over, you have to burn. So notar is impermissible. You may not leave over the korban, but if the korban is left over, then the prescription is that you burn it. That's what we call a lav hanitak le'asei. Rashi claims that the same thing is true over here. He says it's very similar to the case of ones, a person who rapes a woman, a single girl who is a bitula, then the requirement is that he must take her as for the rest of his life. And it says there, v'lo yishalchu, he's not allowed to send her away ever. So there, again, Rashi says that it has a lav hanitak le'asei, because there the pasuk tells us that what happens if he sends her away, kol yamav be'amod v'chagzer. He has to return her, he has to take her back. So he's not violation of the lav of sending her away, because the rectification is he must take her back. He has a mitzvah to return her. He has a requirement to take this woman back and be married to her for the rest of his life. So even if he pushes her away and sends her away or divorces her, yes, that's wrong, that's a violation, but he won't be punished because the rectification is that he has to take her back. There's a requirement. And Rashi claims that the same thing is true over here. Chutz l'machane moshavo is a continuous demand that he be pushed out of the machane. So if he enters into the machane, the rectification is to push him back out, to send him back out of the machane. As Rashi says it over here, v'af agav delav butter lav tiv. Even though it's not written, these aren't adjacent to each other. We said that the requirement to send him out of the machane, the lav, is found in Sefer Bamidbar and Parshat Naso, whereas the asay here is found in Vayikra Parshat Tazria. So nevertheless, al korchach nituke lav yata. Nevertheless, it's coming to remove the lav. The kaiman alav nitak asay in lokin alav. Alav anitak asay, you don't get malkot, similar to that of gzela, that of notar. De'i l'tune asay v'lot asay. Could be the possibility, which happens in other places, that there are two separate mitzvot. There's a lot asay, don't do this, and there's a say, do this. So the lot asay is, don't come into the machaneh, don't be mitameh the machaneh, and the asay is, you have to send them out of the machaneh. So then don't say that the asay is rectifying the lab, rather, it's the assay and the lot assay are different requirements here. Hakotav bay assay achrina. We already have an additional assay in Sefer Bamidbar and Parshat Naso. It already says vayishalchu min hamachaneh. So we already have the assay. We have one assay that says send them out. We have another assay, lotamu, that they can't come in. So that's a lot assay. Now the assay in Sefer Vayikra, what's the purpose of that assay? So now, since it says quote yamei asher negabo, since it says as long as he has a nega, mashma ko yamav bibadad yeshev kai. That means the entire time that he has a nega, the requirement is that he be pushed down and be alone outside the machaneh. Dima varvinichnas. That means that if he violates it and comes into the machaneh, yakzor v'yetzei, then we send him back out. Vein ba'one shacher. There's no other punishment. That's the only punishment. That's the only thing we do. And again, as I mentioned before, Rashi compares this to the case of a menanis et a nara, that says, koyamah b'amud v'yachzer kai mi shenit kanin alei lavei. And that removes the lav here because of the demand that he always takes the woman back. Therefore, he's never in violation of the lav when he sends her away. That's the way Rashi reads it. Rashi reads it as a classic lav anitak le'asei, and he gets over the problems of them not being together by, first of all, telling us there's another asei here, so this asei can't be the mitzvah asei to send him out. And number two is he explains it's similar to the case of Me'anis, where the continuous demand, because it says, kol eimei asher nega bo, as long as he has a nega, there's a continuous demand to push him out of the machaneh, to send him out. That is a rectification of the lav, or the violation of entering into the machaneh. Tosafot, on the other hand, does not see the two as being comparable. He also mentions that the fact that they should have brought the rest of the pasuk here, because according to Rashi, the pivotal point in the pasuk is kol yamei asher negabo. All the time you have that. And that is why this asay is a rectification. That's missing. Ikar echaser min asefer. Although, to be honest with you, in many places in Shas, we have that the Gemara quotes a part of the pasuk, and the ikar part of the pasuk is missing from what they quote. Wouldn't say that's a definitive question on Rashi's position, but he does say the interpretation by the case of Me'anes is lo yishalchah kol yamav means that the only time you're in violation of that lav is when you send her away forever. That means that any other time you can bring her back, you haven't sent her away forever. And he thinks that the interpretation of this is different. And therefore, Bo Marie, Tahai Nitgol Asay, Lo Abi Kishar Lavanitak Lasay. Tosfot says that when he says Nitgol Asay, it's not like a classic Lavanitak Lasay, Shasay Kaduva Har Lav, where you have the Asay immediately after the Lav, similar to Notar, similar to Gzela. But rather over here, what's the meaning of Nitak Lasay? The Isur of Loi Tamu Machanehem doesn't apply solely to a Mitzorah. It applies to a Mitzorah, applies to a Zav, applies to a Tamemate. Uparat bi Mitzorah bifnei atzmo asay. It has a separate asay by Mitzorah. Ata leutzio michlal acherim. That's what it means. It's coming to take it away from the din of the other items there. Linskom in alav, litnova asay. To change it from alav into asay. So Tosafot learns differently, and Rashi says it's not a classic case of lav nitak dasei, but rather the issue here, why this is different than a classic case is, if you normally have a single lav and a single asei, what you're going to say is that the lav and the asei are two separate violations of the isur. One is the violation of the positive commandment, and one is the violation of the negative commandment. And we're not going to automatically say that the asei, the positive commandment, comes to rectify the lav, Elaim gain, unless they are juxtaposed. They're right next to each other, and it's clear that the asay is coming to rectify the lav, like by notar, like by gzela. So over here, you don't have that. So this is not a classic lav and itak asay. But what is unusual here is that the psukim in Bamidbar, Parshat Nasod, that tells you to send them out of the machaneh. And then there's a lo yitamu machanehem. That lo yitamu machanehem references all three types of tuma, tamemet, zav, and mitzorah. But then in Sefer Vayikra, we have a separate asay for Mitzorah. Well, we already have an asay in Bamidbar. We already have a lot asay there. Why is there a separate asay over here for Mitzorah? So what Tosafot says is that's coming to teach you that Mitzorah is pulled out of the lav in Bamidbar and given its own din of an asay. It's not a lav hanitak the asay, but rather it says the lav is no longer applicable to the Mitzorah. The only thing that's applicable to the Mitzorah is the asay in Sefer Vayikra. And that's the way Tosafot reads it. And he says it's because the lav has multiple items embedded in it. Tamemet, Zav, Mitzorah. If you have a single lav that applies to one item, and then you have an asay, that'll be called an alav, and an asay. And the two of them will be kept separate and two violations. Over here, because the lav has multiple items in it, then when the mitzorah has a separate din of an asay, that asay is not coming to say, add an additional asay, it's coming to take it away from the lav. And therefore, that's what it means here, lav hanitak the asay. Now, Tosfot says, interesting enough, according to his shita, according to Rashi, this would not necessarily be the case, but according to Tosfot, he says that this asay here is only true from Machaneh Yisrael to Michutz to Machaneh Yisrael. Over there, the Asay helps him out. But if he comes into the Machaneh Leviah or Machaneh Shekhinah, then he's subject to the same violations of a Zav who enters into Machaneh Leviah or a Zav who enters into the Machaneh Shekhinah. In the Mitzorah, this din of the Mitzorah, that it's Nitak the Asay, is only relevant from him coming from outside the city or outside of Yerushalayim into Yerushalayim or outside of a walled city into the walled city. Because that's the thing that's unique to the Mitzorah. But things that are not unique to Mitzorah, they're true of a Zav as well, and a Tamei Meit as well, in the inner areas, like in Machaneh, Leviyah, Machaneh Shekhinah, he will be Chayav, and he will get the same punishment as a Zav or a Tamei Meit. So now, Eitere, Gemara says, is that really true? Mitzorah, Nechnas Lefnim Mechitzato, Be'arbim. We have here a Braita that says that a Mitzorah who comes inside of his Mechitza gets Arbaim, gets 40 lashes, meaning that he's in violation of a Lav, and gets Malkot. Zavim is Zavot, Shechnasu Lefnim Mechitzatam, Be'arbaim. Same thing for Zavim and Zavot. If they come inside of the area that they're supposed to be outside of, they get 40 lashes as well. But Tamemet, Mutakanes to Machaneh Leviyah. Tamemet is allowed into Machaneh Leviyah or is allowed onto Har HaBayit. Below Tamemet, Bilvad Amru. It's not even Tamemet that's allowed onto Har HaBayit or into Machaneh Leviyah. Ela, Afilu Meit Atzmo. Even the dead person themselves, the cadaver themselves, can be brought into Har HaBayit and can be in Machaneh Leviyah. How do we know that? Kashenemar. Veikach Moshe, Tatzmo, Yosef Imo. Moshe takes the Atzmot Yosef with him from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe lives in Machaneh Leviyah. And the Gemara says, Imo b'mechitzato. When he took him with him, he literally had them next to him in the Machaneh Leviyah. So you see here that you have a person who has passed away, Yosef, Tzadik, who is Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's found in the Machaneh Leviyah. So you see that not only is it a Tamei Meit, but the Meit themselves can be in the Machaneh Leviyah. The Gemara answers, Tanaehi. This is a Machloket Tanaim. Machloket Tanaim as to whether you get Malkot for a Mitzorah who violates being outside of the Machaneh or not. Titania, Badad Yeshev, Livado Yeshev. It says Badad Yeshev, you must sit alone. Shalo Yu Tmeim Acharim Yoshvim Imo. Other Tmeim don't sit with him. The Mitzorah has a unique location, a unique placement outside of the Machaneh. Yochu Yehi Zavim Tmeim Meitim Mishtochim the Machaneh Achat. You would think that the Zavim and the Tmeim Meitim all get sent to the same place. Talomar, V'lo yitamu et machaneihem. Machaneihem in plural. Why is it happening in plural? L'tein machane lezeh u machane lezeh. A machane for each one of them. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda learns the fact that each one of these individuals, the Tamei Meit, the Zav, and the Mitzarah have separate machanot. He learns that out partly from the Pasuk in Vayikra, which is Badad Yeshev. That teaches you that the Mitzorah has his own location by himself. Number one. Then the Zav and Tamei Meit, how do you know that they have their own locations? That's from the Pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar and Pashat Naso, which says, V'lo yitamu et machanehem. Machaneh for the Tamei Meit, machaneh for the Zav. Separate machanot. So each one of them is sent out to a different location. As we said before, Tamei Meit has to be outside of Machaneh Shekhinah. The Zav has to be outside of Machaneh Leviyah, and the Mitzorah has to be outside of Machaneh Yisrael. That is the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino Tzarich, you don't need that. Harei Omer, Vayishalchu min haMachaneh kol Tzarua v'chol Zav v'chol Tamei leNefesh. You send out of the Machaneh a Tzarua, someone has Tzarat, a Tzav, and a Tamei leNefesh, Yomar, Tamei Meit. So this is similar to the position that Reish Lakish took before about why do you need all three of them there? If you just tell me about a Tamei Meit, Vayomar Tamei Zav, and don't tell me about a Tamei Zav. Why do you have to tell me about Zav? If Tamei Meit has to go out, then certainly Zav has to go out. Zav is more chamor than Tamei Meit. We'll discuss why in a minute. Vani Omer Tamei Meitim Mishtachim. And then I would say, if the Tamei Meitim are sent out, Zavin Lo Koshekein, then a Zav for sure will be sent out of the Machaneh. So Lama Nemar Zav. So then why did the Torah say Zav after already told us Tamei Meit? Hitein Lo Machaneh Shekhinah. To teach you that it has its own Machaneh. It has its own place that it's sent out of. Tamei Meit is only sent out of Machaneh Shekhinah. The Zav, the mentioning of the Zav comes to teach you that the Zav doesn't just go out of Machaneh Shekhinah, he also has to exit Machaneh Leviyah. So then again, Lama Nemar Mitzorah. Then why do you need Mitzorah? If you know Tamei Meit is sent out, if you know Zav is sent out, then certainly Mitzorah is sent out. L'tein lo Machaneh Shlishit. The same way over here, to teach you Machaneh Shlishit, to teach you that Mitzorah has his own Machaneh. So therefore, from the Pasuk itself in Bamidbar, in Sefer, in Parshat Naso, you could know this information, that each one of them has a separate Machaneh. That means that Rabbi Shimon now has the Pasuk in Vayikra, Badad Yeshev, as being extra superfluous. So what does he do with that? Shomer Badad Yeshev, HaKatuv Nitro Le'asei. The Pasuk made it into an Asei. So Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that it's a law of either a Nitak Le'asei according to Rashi, or according to Tosafot, it's a law that changed into an Asei. But that's because he has the Pasuk in Vayikra be extra. Since that Pasuk in Vayikra is extra, therefore he utilizes it to teach you of Nitro Le'asei. So Rav Chista will be holding like Rabbi Shimon. Rav Chista says there's no Malkot, holds to the position of Rabbi Shimon. The other brayta that we wrote down that says you get Malkot for the Mitzorah violates being outside of Machaneh Yisrael comes in, that'll be according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he needs Badal Yeshev to teach it. Sora has his own location. And then he has Machanehem from Sefer Bamidbar to teach you that Zav and Tamei Meit have separate locations. But Badal Yeshev is no longer extraneous. If it's not extraneous, then he doesn't have a Lav and Itak Daseh, or Lav Haneafach Daseh, according to Tosafot. Therefore, you're going to get Malkot if Mitzorah violates that, and that'll be the author, the authorship of our Braita will be Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara wants to understand, why is it so obvious if a Tamei Meit is sent out, that a Zav will also be sent out? We had that in the position of Reish Lakish, and we just had it again here in the position of Rabbi Shimon. So my Chumre de Zav mit Tamei Meit. Why is a Zav for sure more Chamur than a Tamei Meit? She came to my Yotza Alav Migufo. Because Tamei Meit comes from an exogenous variable, meaning that there's a mate, and you come into contact with it, and through that contact, you become Tamei. And then a Zav produces the Tumah internally. Because of the emission that he has, he becomes Tamei, or the Zavah, who has a flow, she becomes Tameah because of that flow. So the Zav and the Zavah produce their Tumah. They're inherently, the Tumah comes from them. Versus a Tamei Meit, where it's coming from something external. Where it says, Adaraba, Tamei Meit Chamor. Tamei Meit should be more chamor. Because Tamei Meit requires sprinkling on the third and the seventh day by the Paraduma, which is not true by the Zav. So Amakra, Tamei, Vechol Tamei. The Pasuk in Bamidbar, when it says who has to be sent out of the Machaneh, it says this. It says, Vishalchu min haMachaneh. Who do you have to send out of the Machaneh? Vechol Tzarua, Vechol Zav, Vechol Tamei. And what the Gemara is going to say is that the word Kol is a ribui over here. Meaning that you could have just said, Mishalchum and Achanet, Tzarua, Vizav, and Tamei Nefesh. Why does it say Kol in each of these instances? It must be a reboy that comes to include something. So now the Gemara says, Kol Tamei, what does the Kol Tamei mean? It comes, Kol Tamei, there are both Tamei Sheretz. That comes to include someone who is Tamei Sheretz. Tamei Sheretz, or anything that comes through Tumat Nigiya, through touching, like Nevela. Anything that's Tumah is conveyed through contact with the item, anything that has that type of Tumah will be subsumed under Tamei Nefesh. So v'zav chamur mitamei sheretz. In the end, a zav is clearly more chamur than a tamei sheretz. So within the category of tamei nefesh is included sheretz, then clearly zav is more chamur than that. Umay chumrei kedamran, as we said already. Tamei sheretz or tumata sheretz comes through negiah as an external item, whereas zav is produced internally by the zav himself. He is inherently tamei. Mar says, adraba sheretz chamur. Sheretz has a sad chumra to it. She came tamei beones. Because sheretz doesn't matter if you intend to come into contact with the sheretz or whether you don't intend to come into contact with the sheretz. As long as you came into contact with the sheretz, you are tamei. Zav doesn't have that. Zav, you only have to have a ri'yah that doesn't come derech ones. Otherwise, it's not considered to be a real ri'yah. It's not considered a sighting unless it happens because of whatever the problem is. Not because you ate too much, drank too much, because you were jumping around, whatever caused the emission to happen. That is not considered to be a mission for Zav. Omar says, Emre ki agavna, Zav nami, t'muyei mitami bone. So wait a minute. Then within the category of Zav, I also have that. Kid Rav Huna, Dam Rav Huna, ri'ya rishona shel Zav, mitami bone. That the first sight of Zav also is mitami bone. Because the way it works is the Hekesh in the Torah calls a Baal Keri, someone has a seminal emission, it compares it to the ri'ya rishona of a Zav. And just like a Baal Keri can be even bonus, doesn't matter why you have an emission or a seminal emission, in that case, you're Tamei no matter what. So that is true by Zav as well. The first Re'iyah of Zav is matched with the Baal Keri, and therefore even if you see a bonus, it counts. On the other hand, if you have the second and third sightings, they can't be bonus. But it means within the category of Zav, you also have a sighting that can be bonus. If that's the case, then Sheretz is not more chamor than Zav. Zav is more chamor than Sheretz, for sure. Zav, first of all, is a 7-day tumah. Sheretz is only a 1-day tumah. Zav has tumah that comes out of his body. It's inherently from him, not from an external source like Sheretz. In addition to that, they both have the same chum, which is that it happens bonus, kibaratzon, doesn't matter. It can happen either way. It doesn't matter how it happens. That's true by a Sheretz entirely, and that's also true by a Zav in the first read of the Zav. Now the Gemara says, okay, my chumrei de mitzora mizav. How do we know that there's a chumrah from Mitzorah to Zav, which was the second line of reasoning within Rabbi Shimon's position, which is, if I already know Zav, why do you have to tell me about Mitzorah? Shekein ta'on priya ufrima dasur v'tashmi shamita. Mitzorah has, number one, the requirement that he grow his hair out. Number two, prima, that he rend his garments. And number three is dasur v'tashmi shamita. Now, isur tashmi shamita may not be necessarily by a chalut, a fully designated Mitzorah, it might only be b'mei sifro. When he's counting to see if he is Tamei or when he's coming to become Tor, there might be Nisur Tashmish Amitah. So Machlok in the Gemara, if it applies to Chaluto, when he's full-fledged Mitzorah. So according to the one who says that he is Asur B'Tashmish Amitah when he's a full-fledged Mitzorah, then this works fine. Rashi says, even according to the one who says it's not, still in the category of Mitzorah, we have an Isur Tashmish Amitah, which is not applicable to Zav at all. Whereas it says, Adarabba, Zav Chamor, Shekei Mitamei Mishkav Moshav, Umatamei Kli Cheres Behesed. Wait a minute, Zav has a chumrah that doesn't apply to Mitzorah. It's metamei mishkav moshav. That's something that he lies on or something that he sits on. The items that become tamei, not only do they make an individual comes in contact with them tamei, it makes their clothing tamei. That's number one. Number two is hesed. If they move a kli cheres can only be mekabel duma from the inside, aviro. So if the individual, the Zav, touches the inside, it's tamei. But from the psukim in the Torah, it sounds like even if the Zav touches it from the inside, it's tamei. But Kli Cheres is not mekabel tumah from the outside. So Gemara dashens from that, what is the type of touching that's as if you touch the whole item, but you didn't touch it? So they call it hesed, when you move it. If you shake the item or if you move the item, it's as if you've touched the entire item, both on the inside and the outside. And therefore, when it comes to hesed, the movement of a Kli Cheres, a Zav is mitamei that. Mitzorah, that's not true. Now, the point is that by Mitzorah, there is a din of Mishkav and Moshav as well. As Rashi explains over here, there's a big difference, which is that the Mishkav and Moshav of a Zav, Avatuma. And Avatuma means that it can be Metamei Adam V'Kelim. It has such a high level of Tuma, it affects not only the individual, it also affects the Bigadim that are on him. Even though it never came into contact, the direct contact with the Bigadim. On the other hand, the Mishkav and Moshav of the Mitzorah are not an Avatuma, but rather a Rishon Tuma. So they can be mitamei ochlim and mashkim, but they cannot be bnei adam, and they cannot be mitamei bigadim. So there is a concept of mishkav and moshav by mitzorah, but it's not on the same level as a zav. It's a much lower level of a zav, so there's a chumrah by zav. Number two is hesed. Hesed applies by zav, it does not apply to a mitzorah. So here we have two items where the zav is more chamur. So how could you claim that the mitzorah is more chamur? Where it says, because the pasuk says, b'chol zav. So we said before, the word kol comes before zav, for a boat, balkeri, to come to include someone who has a seminal emission. So a Baal Keri is in the same category as a Zav. Umitzarach Hamur mi Baal Keri. And a Zav is for sure a Chumor than a Baal Keri. Umay Chumre. What's the Chumor? Like we said before, that a Mitzorah requires Priya, Prima, and Asur B'Tashmisha Mita, which is not true by a Baal Keri. Where it says, Adarabah, Baal Keri Chumor. Baal Keri has a Chumor to it, which came in Tamei B'Mashu. A person who has a simon omission, the smallest amount makes them tamei. Whereas by a mitzora or tzaraat, you need a minimum of a kagris, which is the size of a bean. I said, "Sever like Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Natan. The Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer Mishum Yishmo Zav Tzarich Yecham Tamat Piyama. A zav, in order to have an emission of a zav and to be tamei, it has to hover over the orifice by which it's exiting. So there is a shi'or for that. There has to be." Oh, at least here, it sounds like it has to be greater than a kagris, the size of a bean, because we're suggesting here that that is something that makes a chumrah over here. Below Hodulu Chachamim, the Chachamim didn't agree to Rabbi Natan. Hidgish Lei Baal Keri Lezav, and we know that a Baal Keri has this hekesh, as we saw before, between the first Riyah of a Zav and the first Riyah, or the Riyah of a Baal Keri, they're the same. And so if a Zav has that requirement of a minimum shear, so do a Baal Keri has that requirement of a minimum shear. If that's the case, then there's no longer a chumrah in Baal Keri. And Saruah is clearly more chamur than a Baal Keri. For all the reasons we said above, plus with regards to a shiur, Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Natan that Baal Keri through Zav does have a minimum shiur. So then the Gemara says, okay, you explained to me, kol Zav, the Rabot Baal Keri, kol Tamei, the Rabot Tumat Sheretz, or Tumat Nevela, kol Tzarua, that's in the puzzle, what are you going to include to go along with the Tzarat? Who's in that same category as a Tzarua? Gemara says, Aydi, Ktiv kol Zav, Ktiv Nami, kol Tzarua. It's just parallel structure in the pasuk. You already had kol zav, kol tamei. May as well have kol tzarua in there anyway, even though there's no limud from kol tzarua. Now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda, Shapir Kamar, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon has a really good claim here. Pasuk says, kol tzarua, kol zav, kol tamei, the nefesh. Why do you need all three of them? You could just say nefesh and you would own the other items. So why does Rabbi Yehuda not subscribe to Rabbi Shimon's understanding of the pasuk over here? Where it says, Aumi Baile, he needs that pasuk for something else. Kedetanya, for a braito. Rabbi Leizer Omer Yochol Dachago Zavim Mutzarim Nechnasu Azara BePesach Abba BeTumah. The Zavim Mutzarim push their way into the Azara in a Pesach Abba BeTumah. They're not allowed to be hurt. They don't have any exemption. They don't bring a Pesach Abba BeTumah. Only a Tamei Maid does that. Nevertheless, these Mitzarim and Zavim push their way in order to be there or be in the Azara. Yochol Yu Chayavim. You would think they'd be Chayav Karet like they normally are if they enter into Machane Shchina with that Tumah. What does that mean? B'shash Tmei Meitim Mishtalchim. When Tmei Meitim are thrown out of the Machane Shechina, Zavim Mutzarim Mishtalchim. Then Zavim Mutzarim had the same din of being thrown out. Ve'ein Tmei Meitim Mishtalchim. In a case where the Tmei Meitim aren't thrown out, Ein Zavim Mutzarim Mishtalchim. Then the Mitzorah and the Zav are not thrown out. Now, L'chatchila, they are sent out. L'chatchila, they don't belong in the Machane Shechina, and they shouldn't be there. But if they violate that, despite that fact, and they're not supposed to be, and they come in anyway, they're not going to get the punishment, because the punishment is associated with all tumult being in a state where they're being sent out of the machaneh. So because that parallel, or that hekesh between all the tumult, only when all the tumult are thrown out of their respective machanot, does it apply the din of karet. But in a case where the tmei meit can't come into the machaneh shechina, then the Zav and Mitzara are not subject to the punishment or normal punishment they would get if they come into Azara. Again, the Chatchila, they should not go in, but nevertheless, if they do go in, they're not going to be Chayavim. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda uses the Pasuk of Rabbi Shimon for. So now if he does that, he doesn't have that Pasuk available to teach you about different Machanot. Once he's done that, he has to learn the Machanot from the Pasuk in Vayikra plus Machanehem, and he's nothing left over to make a Nitko the Asay. Amar Mar. So now the Gemara goes back to the Limud that we had before, which is Zav, Vichol Zav, they're both Baal Keri. By Zav, and call Zav comes to Nekuda Baal Keri. Misayale the Rabbi Yochanan. This helps the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Dama Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan made two statements here that are not correlated or connected at all. You just happened to hear both of them from his Rebbe at the same time. The first one is, Michilot lo nitkadshu. When it comes to the Beit Mikdash, the tunnels in the Mikdash were not Kodesh. So if someone who was Tamei could go into those tunnels below the Mikdash, because Michilot lo nitkadshu. In other places, the Gemara in Yom, in other places, the Gemara talks about it really depends on where they open up to. If they open up into the Kodesh, then the Mechilot might be Kodesh. If they open up into the Chol, then they might be Chol. So this might not be a definitive statement that Mechilot don't catch you, but it is generally, if they open up into a place of Chulin, and not only into the Azara, then they will be Chulin, and a person who's Tamei could be inside of them. Number two is, Ubal Keri Mishtaleich L'chutz Mishtei Machanot. A Baal Keri is thrown out of two Machanot. Two Machanot means out of Machane Shechina, and out of Machane Leviya. So that would be supported by what we just said. Because Zav comes to Rabot Baal Keri, a Zav is thrown out of Machane Shechina, thrown out of Machane Leviyah. So now, Vekol includes a Baal Keri, he's thrown out of two Machanot. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan just said. It says, is that really true? Balkari ke maga sheretz. Balkari has the same din as a maga sheretz, someone who touches a sheretz. My, what is that for? What are you teaching us that a balkari has the same din as a sheretz? Lav the machanotam. Isn't it coming to teach you that just like a sheretz is only thrown out of machanesh kina, or tamei sheretz is only thrown out of machanesh kina, so too a balkari is only thrown out of machanesh kina. Lo, lutumatan. It's coming to teach you that they're tuma. Just like a sheretz only has tumat erev, one day of tumah, you go to the mikveh on that day, the sun sets, you're completely tahor. So do a balkari, you go to the mikveh that day, sun sets, you're completely tahor. So tumatan, the Gemara says, you're talking about tumatam. Hi, tumat erev k'tibay, tumat erev k'tibay. They're both explicit psukim written. Why do you need to come have a braita that tells you this information about their tumah when they're explicit psukim in the Torah? El alav the machanotam. It must be that it's coming to teach you this din of machanot. Gemara says, no, the olam the tumatam. It's coming to teach you about the tumah. That a balkari has a din like a magasheretz. Ma magasheretz mitamei bonus. That's like a magasheretz becomes tamei, even if it's unintentional, even if it intends to touch the sheretz, it happens anyway. A balkari mitamei bonus, and so too, a balkari is also mitamei bonus, because it doesn't matter, even if he ate a lot, he drank a lot, but if he has a seeming omission, even though it's caused by some external variable or some other issue, that is still considered to be a seminal omission, and it's problematic. That's why they're compared here. That's what the person of the Tumot is. So there, it's not a proof against Rabbi Yochanan. Meitave, second half of this Mishnah that we just quoted, bolt nida ketamei meit. Someone who sleeps with the nida is the same din as a tamei meit. Vamai, what's the din for? Ilem the tumatam, and tamei is for the tumah, that a bolt nida has tumat shiva, and a tamei meit has a tumat shiva. Hai tumat shivak tibbe, hai tumat shivak tibbe. They're both explicit psukim in the Torah. Bol nida gets 7 days of tumah, just like the nida. And the tamei meit has a din of 7 days of tumah. They're both explicit psukim in the Torah. Why do you need a bright or a mishnah to tell me this information? El alav the machanotam. It's coming to teach you that bol nida and tamei meit both only get thrown out of the machaneh shchina, not out of the machaneh leviyah. Where it says, it's misayf of the machanotam. Clearly that latter half of the mishnah is talking about being thrown out of the machanot. So too, the first part of this Mishnah that discussed the Balkari and the Tamei Sheretz, it's also from Machanot, which would imply that a Balkari only has to be thrown out of Machaneh Shechina, not out of Machaneh Leviyah. Where it says, Midiria, who says? Why does that have to be? Hadgiyav Hadgahita. Each part of the Mishnah is telling you different information. The first part of the Mishnah is telling you about why is Balkari like Tamei Sheretz, to teach you about their Tumah. That they both have Tumah bonus, so that's why they're put together. The second half of the Mishnah is talking about the comparison between Tamei Meit and Bol Nida. That comes to teach you that they have the same din regards to Machanot, that they both only have to be thrown out of Machaneh Shekinah, not out of Machaneh Leviyah. Okay, we'll stop over here.